This unit, comprised of three lectures, introduces the transactional nature of communication and identifies the verbal and nonverbal elements that provide for effective communication. Much of the material in this presentation has been adapted from the book Health Communication, Strategies for Health Professionals by Northaus and Northaus. The first lecture addresses verbal elements. The second lecture focuses on the nonverbal nature of communication, and the third lecture addresses electronic and paper-based communication. What are the components associated with verbal communication? To answer this question, we will start by exploring different components of communication, creating a definition of communication, and then describing communication specific to healthcare. Next, we will describe some basic assumptions about human communication. We will explore different communication models, starting with general models and closing with health-specific ones. Our final focus in this section will be the variables used in verbal communication. Starting from the late 1940s, there have been many definitions of communication. Common to most of these definitions are four components. The first component is the sender. The second component is the receiver of the information. The third component is the transfer of information itself. In order for the transfer of information to occur, there must be a set of common rules to enable understanding. Thus, a common set of rules is our fourth component. A simple example of common rules is language. Try to think of the difficulty in sharing information verbally with a person who does not speak the same language you do. When we combine the four components, a simple definition for communication follows. Communication is the process of sharing information between a sender and a receiver of the information using a set of common rules. For some, the word communication reflects a linear, one-way transfer of information. The sender delivers a message to a receiver. However, communication is not that simple. Instead, we have found communication to be ongoing, changing, and dynamic. Indeed, it is a process. For example, physical and emotional states may change in both the sender and the receiver during the process of communicating. The transactional nature of communication suggests a reciprocal or constant feedback loop relationship. In this way, the sender influences the receiver. In turn, the sender is influenced by the receiver. Stated more simply, communication can be thought of as a two-way street. The transactional nature of communication is considered by some people to be an extension of the process itself. The last basic assumption of human communication is that communication is multidimensional. Some suggest there are two dimensions or levels. The first one surrounds the content of the message, and the second one is the relationship or context dimension. During a conversation, these two dimensions are active and can influence one another. For example, your supervisor could ask you, "Why did you not finish the coding this week?" This question could be interpreted different ways dependent on what your relationship is to your boss and how the message is stated. Northaus and Northaus discuss a variety of communication models. One of the oldest communication models is known as the Shannon and Weaver model. Developed in 1949, the model contains five components, which are focused around the message itself. They are information source, transmitter, sources of noise, receiver, and destination. The information source is the actual message content of the conversation. The transmitter refers to the person who will be sending the message. Sources of noise refer to any difficulty in receiving the message. For example, loud background music can hinder the transmission of the message. The receiver is the person intended to get the message. Finally, the destination refers to the message having been received. The second model is the Burlow communication model, which is also known as the SMCR model, where S refers to source, M refers to message, C refers to channel, and R refers to receiver. The first component, the source, refers to the sender of the information. Attributes of the source include the communication skills of the sender and his or her attitudes, knowledge, social system, and culture. In short, the message is affected by the attributes or characteristics of the source. The next component for this model, the message, has its own unique characteristics, such as structure and content code. The structure of a message refers to how a message is arranged. The code is the form in which the message is sent, such as using language or gestures. The third component, channel, deals with how or by what avenue the message is sent or received, such as seeing, touching, smelling, and/or tasting. For example, communication about culture can result from tasting a national dish from another country as part of a visit to that country. Finally, the last component is the receiver. The message that will be received is dependent on the receiver's communication skills, attitudes, knowledge, social system, and culture. It is important to understand that both the source of the information and the receiver of the information are affected by their own skills, attitudes, knowledge, and social system or culture. The Burlow or SMCR model is a very popular model. The models displayed on this slide all serve to emphasize the specific clinician-client communications in the healthcare environment. The therapeutic model addresses the important role of relationships in assisting clients and patients, with an overall goal of moving away from illness and towards health. This communication often occurs between clinician and client. It serves to increase the clinician's understanding of the patient's perspective of the illness and helps the patient cope. Finally, the King interaction model is related to the communication process between nurses and patients. This model incorporates dimensions of relationship, process and transaction identified as crucial elements in the successful communication process. On the previous slide, we saw two different health-related communication models. In each of the models, the communication was between clinician and client. Does this mean that communication within a healthcare setting needs to follow one of these two models? The answer is no. In carrying out duties associated with being an HIT professional, your communication may take place in all different areas and levels in the organization. Depending on the specific role of the HIT professional, communication will usually include other HIT staff and clinicians, but may also include patients, their families and significant others, and members of the public. For some HIT professionals, the majority of communication will be with other departments within the organization. As we have seen, communication in the healthcare setting includes four different interactions. These are professional with professional, professional with client, professional and family or significant other, and client and family or significant other. For example, a physician may discuss treatment options with a patient's spouse if the patient has Alzheimer's disease. Considered in the context of the healthcare IT professional, there will be communication between other professionals, clients, including patients, and the public. While there is no one specific HIT communication model, the Burlow SMCR model is appropriate in this context because it addresses all the elements involved in the transactional and complex process of communication. We will now move on to discuss some of the variables of communication that Northouse and Northouse identify. We have previously presented communication models and action variables that play a part in the communication models. Our focus now shifts to additional variables that are often a part of health communication and support the transactional nature and, at times, the emotional nature of communication. We will discuss each one of these variables in detail in the following slides. Empathy is one of the more complex variables in communication. The term empathy is thought to have its origins in the early 1900s as feeling into by German psychologist Theodor Lips. There are many different definitions, such as relating to others' feelings, acknowledging the state of another person, and sharing one's feelings. A common single-word definition for empathy is to understand. The slang phrase, "I can see where you're coming from," reflects the understanding perspective. When an HIT professional empathizes with others in the healthcare setting, they improve their accuracy of communication. In addition, the use of empathy helps HIT professionals develop effective, strong interpersonal relationships, which is a most desired goal. It is important to note that empathy is not sympathy or pity for an individual or coworker. Again, think of the word understand. In communication, control is also an important factor. There are two components of control. The first one, personal control, refers to the perception that a person can influence the way in which he or she responds internally to external events. Thus, personal control reflects how strongly one feels about his or her actions and minimizes the thought of powerlessness. For example, being able to choose between several options to address a user's need allows the IT professional to feel they can tailor the solution to support the best outcome. The second component of control is relational control. Relational control focuses on relationships or interpersonal characteristics. Stated more simply, in the communication process, relational control addresses interactions that occur between individuals during communication. It is always important to share control in conversations as much as possible. For example, conversations that are heavily dominated by one party can serve to devalue the other party, who may think, "My input or ideas are not needed or valued." Sharing control allows both parties to feel that they are being heard and respected. The third variable, trust, is a central variable in human communication. Trust refers to having confidence in others. In the professional setting, having trust creates a supportive climate, thereby reducing defensive or negative communication. From an HIT professional's perspective, developing and/or further improving trust includes convincing the client that you understand the technical components and process components of an issue, and have other skills that are associated with resolving their needs. In short, while trust is just one of the major communication variables, it is extremely important. It is also important to remember that for some people, trust must be earned. Your actions over a period of time will allow a trusting relationship to develop. Our fourth variable is self-disclosure. Self-disclosure is defined as a process in which an individual communicates personal information, thoughts, or personal feelings to others. While this is important in clinician-client interactions, self-disclosure should be avoided in HIT professional interactions. Of course, in the healthcare setting, one must always be concerned with what is said, particularly regarding sensitive patient information. Patient information should only be shared with those who have a need to know in accordance with organizational policies and privacy regulations. Our last variable is confirmation. Confirmation is a way of sharing acknowledgement and acceptance to others. While confirmation can include aspects of the four previously defined variables, it is also a variable itself. There are both verbal and nonverbal aspects of confirmation. An example of verbal confirmation is stating that the other person's suggestions or ideas for an HIT solution are well developed. A nonverbal aspect of confirmation is to physically nod one's head up and down in agreement to what is being said by a client. In summary, we have reviewed the common elements of communication and presented a definition. We explored the three common assumptions of communication, including the process nature of communication, the transactional nature of communication, and the multidimensional nature of communication. We identified two popular communication models and two health-related communication models. The health-related communication models were presented to share examples of clinician-client communication interactions. Finally, we identified five common variables used in communication in the healthcare setting. It is important to note that the assumptions and variables, when used together, enable effective communication. The next lecture will address the nonverbal components of communication.